Hi, everybody. This is Gatsad. As many of you know, a few hours ago, the verdict was announced regarding the case with Derek Chauvin against in the murder of George Floyd, and he was found guilty on all charges. I don't wish to comment about the actual result of the case because I'll leave it for lawyers to decide whether it was the right number of guilty verdicts, or whether it should have been manslaughter only, and so on. That's not really the point of today's clip. And of course, I wish to reiterate that by no stretch of the imagination could one not think that he's certainly, at the very least, guilty of gross negligence, of wanton disregard for of human life. And so on and so forth. No one who saw that clip could walk away from it feeling anything but, of course, very disturbed by it. So that's incontestable. But what I'd like to talk about today is another murder that happened, and actually, at the societal level, a much greater murder, and that's the murder of deontological ethics. As I explain in The Parasitic Mind, I explain the difference in the context of various contemporary issues about the importance, the tension between deontological ethics, which revolve around absolute statements. It is always wrong to lie, would be a deontological statement, versus consequentialist ethics would be whether you lie or not depends on the consequences of your action. So that if your spouse were to ask you whether they look fat in those jeans and you wish to maintain a harmonious marriage, you might wish to lie in order to spare their feeling and maintain the harmony in your marriage. So that would be an example of consequentialist ethics. And the issue is not so much that we should always be deontological or always be consequentialist, but rather the key issue is to know when to deploy which ethical system. When it comes, as I explained in The Parasitic Mind, to the pursuit of truth, then you should certainly be deontological in your pursuit of truth. In other words, for example, not pursuing truth because it might hurt someone's feelings is a consequentialist perspective. Pursuing the truth unencumbered by the emotive consequences of you pursuing the truth would be a deontological position. So now let's talk about deontology when it comes to the legal system. The legal system in the West is predicated on certain first principles that should be completely deontological in their application. In other words, we never sacrifice a millimeter of those first principles, those deontological, ethical positions, in this case, in the legal setting, in the pursuit of some objective of some consequence. So, for example, and I just wrote this down here, Adolf Eichmann, who was the one of the grand Nazi butchers of the extermination of Jews in the Second World War, was captured by the Mossad in Argentina in 1960. It would have been extraordinarily easier for the Mossad to simply put a bullet in his head and mete out due justice to this monster, a much greater monster than Derek Chauvin. And yet, because they wanted to adhere to deontological principles at great personal cost, knowing that if they were arrested in Argentina, if they were apprehended, it wouldn't go well, they smuggled him out of Argentina back to Israel, where he stood trial and eventually was executed. That's an example of deontological ethics. Here's another example of deontological ethics. On October 3rd, 1995, O.J. Simpson was acquitted of the murder of the two people that, his ex-wife and the other gentleman. His name escapes me. I remember that day I was heading off to lecture, and I was very disturbed by the result, as were many, many people. As lawyers have intimated, there was more incontrovertible evidence in supporting the fact, the incontrovertible fact that O.J. Simpson was the killer. I mean, DNA, their DNA, on him, his DNA on them, and on and on and on. It was all apparently planted by the racist police. And so many people, so the lawyers in question had said that if you took 10, 10 very compelling cases that led to the death penalty and added up all of that evidence, it wouldn't amount to the amount of evidence that was presented against O.J. Simpson. But yet he was acquitted. Many people were very upset. They didn't riot, they didn't kill anybody. Because there is here a deontological principle, which is you don't have a free and fair country whereby the mob rules, whereby the mob decides what is the correct verdict or not. And so, even though I was personally, again, I'm Canadian, so I didn't have any particular dog in that fight. But as a person who cares about justice, I thought it was just grotesque that he would get away with having this, killed, nearly decapitated these two people. And yet, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. And he walked, he got away with it. Now, let's contrast this to what was happening here. We have Maxine Waters, I think, who, has been saying all sorts of inflammatory things. We have the President of the United States who today said, I really pray that the right verdict is reached the day that the jury is deliberating. So when you talk about outside influence on a jury, it's usually for a lot less influence that you sequester a jury. Here you have 1 year of violent rioting subsequent to the horrifying and tragic killing of George Floyd, and you have countless mobs saying if the correct verdict is not reached, cities will burn. So, do you think on a scale of 0 to 100, where 100 they were maximally intimidated, 0 they weren't at all, what's the number that you're going to ascribe to how afraid those poor jury members were when they were deliberating? Certainly, no intellectually honest, decent human being would say it's at 0. We can debate if it's at 100 or 95 or 90 or 80, but is this the type of society you want to live in? Of course, it is galling and upsetting and grotesque to see what happened to George Floyd, but that's why you have deontological principles that govern the legal system. That's why it's not the Middle East. That's why it's not North Korea. That's why it's not the judicial system that humanity has had throughout much of recorded history. The US is an anomaly when it comes to the justice system that it has. And we are eradicating that because we are sinking back to the default base instincts of human nature, and that is the mob rules. You find the verdict that I want you to find, or else. Got it? When Donald Trump was removed from social media, a lot of my super smart progressive friends, who are otherwise supposed champions of free speech, did not mind that Donald Trump, the sitting president of the United States, would be whisked away from social media because he was just too dangerous. So they took a consequentialist bent in navigating through that issue. So, yes, they believed in freedom of speech. And I better not have somebody in the comments section, but bruh, Twitter is a private company. They're not the government. I will block you for being, a cretin of the highest order. As I explained in The Parasitic Mind, freedom of speech is not something that only the government influences. It's part of the fabric of the society. It's part of the culture and the zeitgeist of a society to either tolerate intrusions of freedom of speech, irrespective of where they come from, or to fight against such intrusions. The cancel culture, it's not the government that's doing cancel culture, but it is a bunch of people who say, I don't want you to speak, and therefore I will deplatform you. I will occupationally harass you. That is an intrusion on freedom of speech because you are stopping one free individual in the society from exercising their right to speak. So an attack on freedom of speech is not synonymous with only the government meting out that attack. So when Donald Trump was whisked from all social media while he was still president, supposed intellectuals that I know were gleeful about that. Somehow they could perfectly reconcile their supposed support of freedom of speech in a free society and having the silencing of the sitting president of the United States, because from their view, he posed too great a danger for those deontological principles to apply. Therefore, they switched to a consequentialist ethics. Okay, when Brett Kavanaugh was being confirmed, and someone came a day or two before his confirmation and said that sometime, somewhere, maybe, could be in 1912, could have been in the 7th century, could have been last Tuesday. She's not sure. There is no corroboration. Her friends did not corroborate it. He, you know, he was a gang rapist and he did this to her and that to her. It didn't matter to all of my progressive friends that it was astonishing that you wouldn't follow the presumption of innocence, that you wouldn't laugh that person out of town, but rather it was too dangerous to allow this guy to sit on the justice Supreme Court, because after all, bruh, this wasn't a criminal case; it was just a job interview. So again, they were willing to completely reject and destroy and urinate on first principles that define a secular, liberal, enlightened society, because they put on their political tribalism consequentialist hat. So remember the words that I'm sharing with you. What makes the West great and made it great for several hundred years, notwithstanding, of course, some stains that it has, is the fact that there is a bedrock of fundamental principles, deontological principles, that were supposed to be inviolable. That's what makes a society free. Once you start putting an asterisk and saying, but when it's Donald Trump, it's okay to erase him. Oh, when it's the New York Post reporting on Hunter Biden, it's okay to get rid of them. They're engaging in Russian propaganda. Oh, when it comes to Brett Kavanaugh, well, he's just a gang rapist. It's okay to get rid of him. Okay. No, it's not okay. So, of course, I grieve at what happened to George Floyd, but I certainly grieve with equal alacrity at the death of the bedrock of foundations that has made the West in general and the US in particular the great societies that millions of people, people of color and non-color, wish to move here, precisely because no other society is greater than the one that is to the south of me right now, our US cousins. And so the next time that you are celebrating about some consequentialist objective that you seek, think long and hard before you engage in such tribal thinking. There is no greater goal than to defend the rights of those with whom you disagree. That's the definition of a truly moral, virtuous person. And to repeat for the 1 millionth time, maybe some of the people who are trying to cancel me, some of the Jewish people who are trying to cancel the Lebanese Jew from speaking at the Jewish Public Library next week should hear this again. My defense of freedom of speech as a free speech absolutist is so committed on deontological ground that I, who escaped execution in Lebanon, support the right of Holocaust deniers to spew their nonsense. There is no greater manifestation of a deontological defense than that. There is no greater offense than a Holocaust denier. And yet I, a Jewish person, support their right to be imbeciles, to be pigs, to be truth murderers, to be grotesque. That's what you do in a free society. So shame on all those who can't see the bigger picture. Shame on all those who are willing to throw away all of the foundational bedrocks that define a great society for that quick dopamine hit of wokeness. You disgust me. Have a good day, everybody.